Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to chapter 2 verse 2. So while some people are looking that up and I'm pulling it up myself, 3 years ago I did a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, and there have been many people from both churches who have requested that I do it again, because we say the Apostles' Creed every week, but sometimes we lose track of what it exactly means. What exactly are we saying in each piece of it? So it's been requested that we do it again, and this year we're going to do it again. So we're starting a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. And of course, it starts with creation. So being that it's a new year, and we're talking about the Creator, I figured we would talk about creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens and the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth and the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water sea, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and the trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation of all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and the trees with seed-bearing fruits. Their seeds produced plants and the trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let light appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. So let them be signs to mark the seasons, the days, and the years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruits of the tree for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and all and everything in them was complete. On the seventh day, God finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he restored, when he rested from all the work of creation. The word of God for the people of God. So I said, we're going to be talking about the Apostles' Creed, because creeds are important to our life. Let me get out of these windows. Creeds are important to our lives. We have lots of creeds that we see almost on a daily basis. We don't notice them as creeds, but they're things that we repeat again and again, or repeated to us again and again, that affect our lives and make us look at the world in a different way. Marketers use this all the time. Marketers go out and they repeat a slogan again and again and again. Because, you know, when you're an Olive Garden, you're family. It's a creed. It's gotten into your soul. It's gotten into your life. You know it's there. Nike, just do it. There are lots of different creeds in our world. And that is why it's so important for us as Christians on Sunday morning for us to go over the creed, for us to do the Apostles' Creed, to be able to say what we believe again and again and again until it's such a part of our DNA that we know it by heart. Now, there are people that say we say it so much that it becomes something I don't even have to think about when I'm saying it. And in a way, that's a good thing. But you need to take time to think about what you're saying too. That's why we're going over this. That's why we're going to do this series on the Apostles' Creed. We need to think about the little pieces of it, but I want you to have said it so many times that you no longer have to think about it. Because if you don't think it affects you and builds into your life, you haven't seen these 5, 6, and 7-year-olds out here when we're saying the Apostles' Creed. They can't even read, and they're reciting the Apostles' Creed with us, word for word, because it's been said every week for their entire life. So they know that in the beginning of it, it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And that becomes a part of who they are, that they believe in God. The creed's important. And now we get to break it down into little chunks and talk about all the chunks of it. The first one we get to talk about, of course, is I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in God. We believe in a powerful God. We believe that we get to call Him Father. Now, I know that for some of you, that may carry some baggage. That some of you may say, Father wasn't the best person in the world. My relationship with my father may not have been great. For some of you, that may be an issue. But what you've got to understand is it isn't your father that dictates who God is. It's God who shows us as fathers who we are supposed to be. Men, listen to me on this. You who are fathers, you who are grandfathers, you who affect kids' lives, even though they're not yours, men, God is the example, not us. We don't make God look like a good father. God makes us. God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, and He sets the example. He created each and every one of us. And you know what you've got to do to get His attention? Nothing. You already have His attention. You have His attention all the time. All you've got to do is just stop long enough to pay attention to Him. And sometimes as a father, I've got to remind myself of that when I'm here, why for the 3,500th time that day. Or, hey, Dad, let me tell you about this Power Ranger thing that I have no idea what that child's talking about. But we need to stop, men. We need to take the time to listen to that explanation that that child gives us. We need to mirror what God the Father is doing when He takes His time to listen to us when we don't have a clue what we're talking about either. You may not understand what the children are talking about, but the fact that you spent the time listening will change that child's life. And that's what God does for us. You've got an issue, take it to God. You've got a joy, take it to God. You want to explain this really cool thing you just figured out? God would love to hear about it. It isn't that God doesn't already know all of it. He knows every bit of it. But just as it changes our kids' lives because we spend the time listening to them, it changes our lives because God spends time listening to us. He cares about us. God, the Father Almighty. There's some things that I've learned that God won't do. And the things that I've learned that God the Father won't do is He won't die. He won't sin. He won't lie. And God can't be deceived. These are things that God won't do. Now, am I saying that God's limited? No, I'm not saying God's limited. I'm saying God is that powerful. God is so powerful that He won't sin. He won't lie. And no matter how crafty I think I am, I can't deceive God. When I've done things that I don't want God to see, when I've done things that I don't want God the Father to know about, you know what? He knows. He knows all of it. And He loves me anyway. God loves me despite my flaws. God loves you despite your flaws. We all have them. And that gives us the image of what we need to see, like I said, when we're dealing with our own kids. Because when our kids mess up, and they mess up, we love them anyway. We care for them anyway. We want to hold them anyway. God feels that for each and every one of you, but in a more perfect way than we will ever feel it. If I can love my children that much, what's that perfect love for me got to be like? So we call Him Father. And we try to live up to the example of that Father. But we said God's the creator of heaven and earth in the creed. The creator of everything. Before God, there was nothing. Because of God, everything we can look at, think about, exists. Hudson, up here this morning, said, is God still creating stuff? Is God still creating? Isn't that right, Hudson? Yes. I didn't realize he was still in here. I thought I'd acknowledge that he was looking dead at me. God is still creating. Through God, all of us were created. Through God, I was created. Through God, my dad was created. Thank God my dad was created, or I would not be here. But God's hand is in all of it. God created the heavens and the earth. When you think of time, God created time. When our concept of the world is all done through God's creation. He does not view the world the way we do. And when we say our Father in heaven, we think of God being stuck in heaven sometimes. But God's not stuck in heaven. Because it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So God created heaven, which means He isn't stuck anywhere. Our God is that big, that powerful, that everything that happens, God sees it, God knows it. It says God knows the very hairs on our head. Some of us, He knows a lot more about the numbers of the hairs on our head than others. But God knows every one of those hairs that fell out as well. He knows the story behind every hair that turned gray. He knows all. And yet He cares about us enough that if we stop for just a minute and say, God, I want to talk. He's not going to brush us off and say in a minute like we do sometimes. He's going to say, I'm listening. Every time. Because God wants to have that relationship with you. The creator of the entire universe wants to have that relationship with each and every one of us. And that is amazing that we have a God that is that big, that we know can do anything, and yet he cares enough to listen to my rambling while I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to be preaching on. And trust me, I ramble. And I pace. And I talk to God. And God listens to every bit of it. Because he cares about me. And he cares about you. We've come into a new year. 2024. Sunday school this morning, they were talking about New Year's resolutions. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I see New Year's resolutions as a way to start the year off failing. That might tell you something about my own psychology. But y'all, if you're going to do a resolution this year, if you're going to make a commitment to something, here's the commitment I challenge you to make. Not spend hours a day with God. Take 1 minute a day and just say, hey, God, I'm checking in. Hey, here's what's happening in my life today. Spend that little bit of time with God, because most of us don't spend that 1 minute a day. We think that we ought to. We think that we want to, but we don't even spend a minute. So I'm not trying to get you to set aside a 15-minute period, but set a minute and say, hey, God, here I am. And that 1 minute, over time, will start to grow. It'll start to get bigger and longer. I learned something this week called chicken math. That if you buy a chicken, you end up with another chicken. And eventually you've got a whole flock of chickens. If you spend a minute with God every day, before long it's going to be two. Before long, you find yourself praying without ceasing. Because yes, you can pray all day long, even while you're doing other stuff. If you don't believe I pray all the time when I'm up here talking to y'all, yeah, I am constantly in prayer when I am up here delivering a sermon. I am constantly in prayer when I am driving. But it starts with 1 minute. So this year, if you don't already do it, commit to spending some time with God, because your God, God the Father, wants to spend that time with you. Even if it's time where you're spouting off nonsense to him, kind of like our kids do to us a lot, God wants that time with you, because he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for us. We're going to our table today. I get to stand on the light again. We're going to go to the table this morning, to Christ's table, the table that Jesus set. Jesus came because God loved us so much. We had gone astray. We had sinned. We had done evil. But our Father in heaven loved us so much that he put on flesh, became the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die for our sins, to take our punishment so we could be brought back into right relationship with God, so that we could just say, God, here I am, listen to me. And that connection would be there for all eternity. That's some pretty wonderful stuff. On the night in which he gave him, on the night in which he gave himself up, our Lord took the bread. He said thanks. And then he broke the bread. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God again. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. And do this often in remembrance of me. And so we come to this table again and again to remember the covenant that Jesus Christ made. To remember that Jesus died for our sins. To remember that we are washed clean. Before we go to the table today, we have sins in our lives that we need to ask for forgiveness for. Each and every one of us does. And so I want to take a moment. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the forgiveness that is offered from Jesus Christ. Pray. Lord, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory that you wish. We have all fallen short of the mark that you have placed before us. We are sinners and we know this, Lord. But God, we thank you. We thank you for the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. So we say, please forgive us of these sins. Lord, we thank you and we thank you for Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. We'll come to our table this morning. This table is not my table. This table is not LaRonger Legacy's table. This table is Jesus Christ's table. And it says that Jesus Christ came for the entire world. Jesus Christ came to forgive the whole world because God loved the world. So all that's required to come to this table is to be hungry and to thirst for righteousness. And this table is open to you, whoever you are, no matter who you are. And you don't need to be perfect to come to this table. In fact, if you are, you won't need to come to this table. For the rest of us, it's time. If my servers can come forward.